We're going to talk about a topic that is probably the superordinate topic of all of our shiurim. It's something that is on my mind for a long time, and I hope that we'll be able to put some kind of a dent into this perplexing issue. Here's the issue. We're all guilty of it to one degree or another, to one level or another. But when it comes to mitzvot shebenod lamokim, when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, to daven, to kosher eating, to Shabbos, to all the things that we do as Jews, because that's the way we were told to do it, whether we understand it or not, we are very machmir. We want to do it right. When we have the smallest question, whether we should do it or not, or how we should do it, we run to the Rav to ask him a question. We will do whatever we can not to eat chas v'sholem, the furthest shash of treif. We won't touch it. If we don't see in the supermarket the certification, we will not deal with it, even though it may be okay, because we don't want to put ourselves into any trouble. Yet when it comes to issues that have to do in interpersonal relationships, we become the biggest rabbonim, we become the biggest poskim, we allow ourselves to do things that are questionable, we have all the justification for them, and sometimes, actually many times, we don't even feel the need to go and ask a question. We just do it, and we do it because we think it's the right thing, we are convinced that we're doing the right thing, even though if we will ask the question, we're probably told that we shouldn't do it, and if we will think about it ourselves, we probably will come to the same conclusion. Why is it, is question number one, and what can we do to improve ourselves in it? So let's start. I will intertwine during my shiur a story that happened to me during my visit to Israel last week, and I thought that this story is really a terrific example of the issues we are talking about. We mentioned one time this Paldes Yosef, but I'll mention it again because it became a lightning rod for myself. The Paldes Yosef was a Hasidic Yid that lived in Poland before the war. He was a soicher, he was a businessman, and he wrote a parish on the Torah. Unfortunately, because of the Holocaust, he wrote it only on the first three scrolling, Bereishis, Shmoyis, and Vayikra. And in the last few years, somebody took the method that he used and completed it to the five chumashim. He is one of the few people that the Gera Rebbe, the Imre Yemes, gave him an askona. And the reason that the Rebbe gave him an askona was because he was a soicher. To see from a soicher writing a book like this, it's unbelievable, because the amount of knowledge in that book is mind-boggling. And whoever likes to read material on the Parsha, I urge you to buy the book. It's called Pardes Yosef. On the Pasuk Zekeli Ve'anveyu that we just read 2 weeks ago in the Shira, the Pardes Yosef has a vote that I think should stay with us for a long time. The Gemore on this Pasuk, Zekeli Ve'anveyu, the Gemara brings two opinions. What does the word Ve'anveyu means? Does the word Ve'anveyu means to be, to buy, to whatever we buy, to buy the nicest? Anveyu Miloshin is Snoy Lefonov B'mitzvois. We have to build the nicest sukkim, we have to buy a nice esrog, a nice lulav, a nice tzitzis, a nice talis, a nice trillin, whatever object that we do mitzvahs with, we should try to beautify it as much as we can. And the Gemara talks about how much should we spend on it. That's one pirush of the pasuk. And the second pirush of the pasuk is the anveyu means hishalech bidrochov. We should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Anveyu comes from the words Ani Vehu, me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What means Italic Midrochov? How do we do it? Says the Gemore, Mahu Rachum Afato Rachum, Mahu Chanun Afato Chanun. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy and makes chasodim, we should do the same thing. That's how we should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Says the Pardes Yosef that really this is not a machlikas. It's not an argument whether Ve'anveyu means A or B. Actually, it has to mean both of them. He says it is impossible. Veraiti, I'm going to read you some of the language. Veraiti baze arbe shemedagdekim velo yachusu al mois liknos esroig hodor vekadoime. Says the Pardes, by so many people that are very machpid when it comes to buying esroig, they are buying absolutely the best, and they spend a lot of money and a lot of time to choose the proper esroig. Yet those people, aval kshemagim lemitzvas zdoke, heimak ke'even. When it comes to zdoke, their heart is like a stone. They don't have, they don't give. I don't know if I ever told you the story that when I was a young geman, there was a moire hoiro in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Sholem Eisen. Later on, Rav Sholem Eisen became my uncle by marrying my mother-in-law's sister. At that time, he was not, but I got to know him through some other interactions. And he told me one time to come to his house and to see how he paskin when it comes to people, the soybean question. And he used to live in Nate Incisor on the top floor, and the steps to those apartments were all outdoor. There was not a room inside the building that had stairs. It was just a building, and the stairs were outside. So there was a throng of people going to the steps, probably close to 100 steps to go in. And it was a fascinating sight to see. And a young man comes to Rav Sholem Eisen and he shows him an esrog, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful piece. And Rav Sholem Eisen looks and looks and looks, and then he looks at the guy and he says, this esrog is possible. It's not good. And the young man is shocked. He's asking Rebbe, where's the chisoron? What happened? And Rav Sholem Eisen said, how much did you pay for the esrog? And the young man told him, 100 lirot. 100 lirot at the time was a sizable amount. In the Kollel, a normal Kollel in the month made 250 or 300 liros for the month, and here the guy spends 100 liros. So Sholem Eisen asks, did you buy your wife a new clothes for Yom Tov? Did you buy your kids a new clothes for Yom Tov? And the man said, I don't have money. So he said, you do have money. Return this esrog and go and buy them, and you can buy an esrog for 15 liros too. Okay? I think that's what he's saying here. That you cannot be zekeli v'anveu and put all your efforts and spend all your money on an esrog. Then when somebody comes to you, whether it's your wife or whether it's an oni, and say, I need some money, and you say, I don't have money. Finishes the Pardes Yosef, and that may be the title of a book in the future. He says, the David HaMelech says in Tehillim on the Posuk, V'ani toilas v'loish. David HaMelech says, I'm a worm, I'm not a human being. And the simple meaning is, David HaMelech means to say, I'm nothing. Says the Pardes Yosef, and we mentioned it a few times, ki ben sonei David, among the enemies of David HaMelech, hoyu rabim amedagdekim me'oid b'mitzvoy shebenodom lamochet. There were a lot of people among the enemies of David that when it comes to the mitzvah Sheben Odom Lamokoim, they were very, very machmir. Beterem lokchu oichel lepiem, botku imrim oloi hoyaboy. Before they ate, they made sure that there's no worms. That there's not even the furthest chash to a worm. Yet, aval b'mitzvah Sheben Odom lachaveiroi, zilzelu. When it came to mitzvahs between one person and another, they didn't pay that much attention to it. And they did not stop running after David and make his life miserable. The same people that would not put in their mouth anything that has the furthest shash of ma'acholes asuras, those same people did not have any problem to make David's life miserable. says David HaMelech on them, the Korah Aleim David HaMelech, just close the door, the Korah Aleim David HaMelech, Gam Anoichi Toilas Velo Ish, let those people treat me like a worm. The same way that they are careful not to put a worm in their mouth, let them treat me like a worm. I would like them to treat me with the same respect when they're dealing with me that they deal with a worm when it comes to the issue of Ma'achalas Asuras. But the reality is that David HaMelech was right. Many people, completely reverse themselves when it's coming to an interpersonal relationship. And I would like to tell you a story. Unfortunately, a very true live story that still goes on about a family friend that we grew together, and I know the entire family at large. And because we were close, so close, I got involved into it willingly or unwillingly. So there are three sisters that are married to three husbands. Okay? The parents are still alive and well, pretty old. And one of the brothers-in-law was accused of improperly taking money of the parents. Not from another sister-in-law, not from, of the parents. As a result of it, one of the sisters decided that she's going to persecute him and started to talk against him and started to make the parents' life miserable. The parents at a certain point of time said, even if what you're telling us is true, we're moichel the money. Enough. We don't have koyach for it. And then she dragged in the third sister into it. And before long, the entire family got embroiled in a very bitter and ugly relationship that in some cases were intended to hurt each other. The kids got involved, and some of the kids are young kids, six, seven, that suddenly their cousins stopped visiting them. They don't know what's going on. The older kids suddenly heard from their older cousins how bad their parents are. And things went really out of control. Now I'm talking about three families that I can tell you are considered to be the front in each one of their respective communities. They are all Yidin Yerei Shemayim. They will not chas v'sholem ever daven later than Zman Tfilah. They will not learn Krishma later than Man Krishma. They are machpid on kalak b'chamur. Yet they had no problem whatsoever getting embroiled in a very nasty family fight with really no reason, because it didn't solve anything. When I was originally called by one of those sisters to talk about the other brother-in-law, my response to her was, why don't you consider this money gone? First of all, put in your head that the money that you claim was taken is true. Everything you're saying is an absolute truth. It's gone. Now what? You have two choices. You have a choice to go after the brother-in-law and say, listen, I need the money back. I said, but one thing that you have to realize, that even according to what you're claiming, then your sister, the wife of this thief, is a victim. Because she's married to a thief. The kids are also victims. Your parents are definitely victims. Don't try to victimize the victims more than they are already. Even according to what you're telling me, and I will take the story at its face value, you're 100% right. There's a lot of victims here. And you are the list of them. Because the only victim that you are is, that you are actually, is when the parents will die, you'll have less yerusha. Wasn't taken from you. That phone conversation was turned upside down exactly, and everything that I asked not to be done was done. I forgot about it till I came to Eretz Yisrael, and that family got the the information that I'm there, and I got back into it. And I got back into it by the parents. That's the funny thing, because the parents called me and asked, what is this that you told this sister? Because she's saying you said A, B, C, D. What did you say? So I had to repeat to them, and then the mother was on the phone, and it's not a woman that usually cries, started to cry on the phone. She said, I'm old. I raised three kids. That's what I'm getting to at the end of my life. That the sisters don't talk to each other. They fight with each other. On what and for what? So, I didn't have a choice at that point anymore, and I went to the third sister. And I sat down with the husband and her, and I said, could you explain to me what's going on here? And my statement to them, and I was trying to startle them, I said, if you would eat nevele and trefe on Yom Kippur, you would have done a lot less than what you're doing now. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I don't know. There's a kibud av ve'em that you're definitely transgressing big time. Not only this, those people are suffering, and they're old people. If chas v'shalom anything happens to them, you will never be able to say, yadeinu lo shofku sadam hazeh. You'll never be able to get yourself clean. There's lashon hara here. There's lies, at least sophic lies. How can you get yourself in such a situation? You, the people, why did you tell it to the kids? That was the one of the questions I asked, and the guy told me, I asked her all. I said, I want to go with you right now to the love that told it to you, because you didn't. There's no heter to this in the world. Anyway, at the end of the evening, I think that it sunk into them. Started to sink into them, that what they're doing is really taking a miserable situation and making it 10 times worse, and in the process, making Averes the Oraisa one after the other after the other. And you ask yourself, what's going on? How come that the same people that Chas V'Shalom will not think will stay away from the furthest shash of Averes the Oraisa? When it comes to Averes Sheben Odol HaMokrim, do not have any problem to do what they did, sleep quietly, and probably going with a righteous conviction that they're doing the right thing. What is going on? I struggle with it for a long time, and I still am. But I'll try to put some of my explanation into it, and maybe some ways that we can avoid it. At least try to minimize it. I think that there's two major reasons why this is happening. The first one is called Negiah. Negiah means it's affecting me. When I am involved, my entire judgment is completely gone. Especially when it has to do with money. Then it's even worse than just judgment. We know that when it comes to testifying, Ed that is a Negiah, a witness that has anything to do with it, that will have any outcomes from his testimony, is disqualified. What the same thing a diamond. When a judge has anything that will come out of his what he's doing, he's disqualified as a judge. We are judging every day. We are the rabbanim. We question ourselves day in and day out. What is this that we are allowed to do? We cannot separate it from our own self-interest. It's interesting that the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, which we just read, says, "Lo tikach shoychad, ki ha-shoychad ye'aver enei chachomim v'yisalef divrei tzadikim." Ask the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, why does the Torah start the Loshen Yochid, "Lo tikach shoychad," in a singular Loshen, and then the Torah says, "Ki ha-shoychad ye'aver enei chachomim." The Torah should say, "Ki ha-shoychad olo tikhu shoychad, or ki ha-shoychad ye'aver enei chachom." Says the Beis Yisrael, a stunning thing. He's saying that when a Beis Din of Shloisha is sitting, and one of the judges is taking Shoychad, it affects the other two. That's how far Negiah has an impact. If one judge, you hear this, if one judge is taking under the table money, it's going to affect the judgment of the other two judges, even though they have nothing to do with it. That's how permeating and Negiah is. There's a very famous story about a butcher that had an argument with another businessman, and they went to a rov, and the rov passed against the butcher, which raised his ire, and he spoke very unfavorably to the rov, and very bechutzpahdik to the rov, and the rov didn't answer. When he left the room, the shamash of the rov asked him, "Rebbe, I don't understand something. This guy, the same guy that you just told him that he owes the other guy $100, comes to you almost weekly with questions about treif and kashas. And when you treif a behemah, it's 10, 20 times more than this. And he doesn't say a word. He accepts it. How come that suddenly for $100, he got so angry and spoke to you with such lack of derechavet?" So the Rav told him, "You're wrong. It's not the money that bothered him. It's the fact that the other won. The money didn't bother him. The $100 didn't bother him. But the fact that somebody else won, that affected him. That's how much our Negias has to do with it." We'll come back to it. I have to tell you that one of the things that I knew I'm going to say this year, so I decided that I'm going to go to a Rav in Eretz Yisrael that deals with a lot of Din HaTorah. And I said to the Rav, "Give me some extreme cases where you are absolutely stunned to hear that somebody even has the guts or dares to come to you with kindness. What was the most outrageous kindness that you heard?" And he told me, "Rav Yitzchok, if you want, you can sit here for the next month. And it will not be enough." The tailing that people find themselves, he told me that the day before, he had a case where a landlord, a Yiddish Shemesh, a Yiddish Shematiramitzis, rented an apartment to someone, and there was a leak in the roof. And the leak was straight into the kid's bed. And for the past month and a half, the tenant is asking the landlord to fix it. And the landlord will come with every person, instead of telling him, "I don't have the money right now," which was the true reason, "I can't." He came with any reason that was blaming the tenant. When it was clear that it's nothing to do with the tenant, the roof needs to be fixed. He said, "And you see those people, and the same guy that didn't care that the kid's bed is getting wet, and they had to move it, Chas v'Sholem would not dare to daven late or to carry mukzeh on Shabbos, money in my pocket on Shabbos, kemish. Yet they didn't have any issues with doing things that are clearly transgressions of Averes Doraisas." And we can go on with stories. How many times do we have when people come to us and asking for a loan, and they tell you, "I'll pay you back in whatever amount of time," and they don't even have the intention to do it. They know they cannot. But they'll tell you whatever they think will appease you to give the money out. Okay. So number one reason I think it has to do with the fact that we are judging ourselves. And when we judge ourselves, we will find all the reasons and all the terem in the world to do what we do. But there's another one, and that may be even more at the core of it. When we are mitzvah to do Shabbos, tefillin, tzitzis, but all the mitzvahs do rise, and they have to do mitzvahs v'lo l'amokim, we're doing it because we were told so. But we think that when we are doing kabedes avicho v'esimecho, lo tignov, lo tigzo, lo tinov, we're doing it because we understand it. It makes sense. Our logic says we shouldn't do it. And once we think that we do it because we understand it, and we'll get for it the benefit, we'll get a good mark, we'll get the schar for doing it. But the core reason we're doing it is because we understand it. Then we're doing it the way we understand it. We're not doing it because we were told to do so. The told to do so is the secondary. But our primary motivation of doing the kibud av and lo tigzol and lo tinzach and lo tinaf and dvar sheker tirchak and all the other things that we have is because we understand it's wrong to do it. But if we understand it's wrong to do it, then we can start defining when it's not wrong to do it. Let me give you an example. We spoke about it in a separate year, but I think it's worth repeating. The Gemara says that there are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Listen to the lashon of the Gemara. Shloisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates some people. Who are the three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate? You think Bechalel Shabbos, doing all the averes, to the Gemara, no. Amedaber Echot Bepe Ve'Echad Belev. Somebody who speaks one thing but thinks something else, misleading someone. If somebody knows a testimony, he can help a friend by coming to court and testifying, and he doesn't. And the third one, I see my friend doing a tremendous transgression, a sexual transgression, that is an avere d'oraisa chiyuv kores. I see somebody has a relationship with another married woman. And I come and I testify, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates me. Wow. Why is this? Because I'm the single witness. And single witness is useless. Says the Gemara, Ki ha de tuv yechotah, Ve'ata zigud lechudei ve'asid bei. Tuvia made an avera, and zigud, that's the name of a person, came to Beis Din and said, I saw Tuvia making an avera. What happened? Magdei Rav Pope lezigud. Rav Pope, who was the dying, put zigud and says, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to give you malchus. So Zigud says, I don't understand what's going on. Omale Tuvia Choto Vizigud Minga? Tuvia made the chet and I'm getting the punishment? Why are you punishing me? So Omale in, yes. Dichtiv lo yokum ed echot beish ve'at lechude asades bei. Shemra be'alma kamach kitle. Translate. The Torah says the testimony of one is useless. So the only thing that you achieved by coming and testifying in Beis Din is a shemra. You now gave a bad name to somebody who clearly did something bad. Remember, we're not talking about you inventing a story. You are telling a true story about someone, and you come into Beis Din, and Rav Pope went and gave you malchus because what you did was wrong. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Omar Rav Mutol Lishnoisri. But Zigud, the guy that saw the other person making an avero, Tuvia was the Baal Avera, Zigod is allowed to hate him. How do we know that Zigod is allowed to hate him? Because the Torah mentioned something that a person can be hated. If you will see the donkey of your hated friend or the hated person bowing under the weight of that you put on him, we have to help him. Okay? But the Torah says that somebody is allowed to hate somebody. Who are you allowed to hate? Says the Gemara, this guy is allowed to hate. Rav Nachman is saying, mitzvah is nicer. Not only is allowed to hate him, but he has a mitzvah to hate him. So the guy that saw the other guy makes an avera, he has a mitzvah to hate him. I have to tell you, that's one mitzvah that I see a lot of people are very machmir. They don't want to miss the opportunity ever. Okay? But the problem is that this mitzvah to hate has so many limitations on it that we better not do it. Because we are in a danger of doing it in the wrong way. What's the limitations? So first of all, the Gemara says that the Torah, when the Torah is telling that Ki tireh chamor sonacho oyved tachat masoreh, what happens if I see two donkeys on the ground? Who should I help first? The guy that I love or the guy that I hate? One of them belongs to a friend of mine, the other one belongs to the guy that I hate. Say the Gemara, I have to do it to the guy that I hate. Not only this, the rule is that if one donkey is already on the ground, because there's too much weight on him, and another guy is trying to load on the donkey, I have to help both of them to load and unload. But I have first to unload because meanwhile the donkey suffers. But what happens if I have to unload a friend's donkey and load a hater donkey, somebody that I hate? I have to load first the donkey of the guy that I hate rather than unload my friend. That means that the guy that I hate gets such a huge preference. Says the Gemara, why? Kedei lehavir al midoisov. To trick you to do something for somebody that you hate to. Okay? Frey asked the Tosfos, okay, we'll skip. Tosfos says, if you try to have somebody mavir al midoisov, if there's a mitzvah to hate him, why do I have to try to avoid it? So Tosfos answered a fascinating answer. Tosfos is saying, you know why? Because when you hate somebody, he sees it. And he hates you back. So you cause now somebody to hate you back. That is not permissible. So the limitation on hating are huge. The Balatanya. He's saying the following in Perek Lamed Bet. Many of the Chassidim call it the Levatanya. Uma shekosuv b'gemore shemi sheroi b'chaveroi shechoto mitzvah lisnoisoi. Whatever the Gemore says, there's a mitzvah to hate somebody. V'gam loimar l'raboi shisnu, and to tell his rebbe also. Says the Balatanya, haynu b'chaveiro b'toiro b'mitzvos. It's only somebody who is a friend of yours, and you're learning with it. Him you have a mitzvah to hate. Why? Because you were moichiach him, you were trying to give him musar, you were trying to make him, to avoid him, to avoid making the avera, and he didn't listen. This is the guy that you allowed to hate. Aval mishe'eino chaveiroi ve'eino mekume v'tzloiro. If somebody is not your friend, you just see him outside. Al ze hilel azak enoime rebe mitalmido shel Aaron oyev sholoim oyev esabrius umekovim latoyot. If it's a stranger, if it's somebody that you don't know, on him, there's no heter to hate him. Punkt verkehrt. Just the opposite. You have to be mekarev. Then says the Balatanya something that is mind-boggling. וגם המקורבים אלו ויחיכם ולא ישובו מאבינוסיהם שמצווה לסנויסון. Even those that you have a mitzvah to hate them, mitzvah le'ahavo gamken. You have a mitzvah also to love them. Ushteim and emes, and both of them are the truth. Sino mitzad ha'ra shebahem, ve'ahava mitzad p'china satoi v'agonu shebahem. You can hate somebody because his deeds are bad. But at the same time, you have to love him because what the potential that he has to turn it around. And doing those two things, says the Balatanya, are not two opposite things. You can hate somebody for their action, then you still have to love them for what they have inside them and bring them back. We will not be able to finish this year today, which is not an unusual thing. But I would like just to do one more point. When we deal with someone else, when we have an issue that we want to know how to deal with someone, we have to understand something very basic. Our relationship with other people are not dictated by us. They are dictated by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's the same Rebbeinu Shel Olam that told us, the same Rebbeinu Shel Olam that gave us all the mitzvah sheben odom lamokoyim also gave us all the mitzvah sheben odom lachaveiroi. Ve'eile ha-mishpotim, we just read. Ve'eile ha-mishpotim asher tosim ifneim, says the Rashi, v'av moisim farinian rishak. That it's an addition. What does it come to tell you? The same way that Aseres Adibros were given to us from Sinai, the same way all the mishpotim, all the mundane, monetary and non-monetary stuff that are spoken about in Parshas Mishpatim are all given from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So, we will stop here, we'll continue with Hashem next time. But when we have an issue to deal with someone else, and we try to find justification why not to talk to him, why not to be nice to him. He's a Roshe, he's doing bad things to me. We have to realize one thing. We are not the judges to decide how the mitzvah is to perform. This mitzvah is not a mitzvah that we are doing because we understand it. It's a mitzvah that was given to us the same way that any other mitzvah was given to us. The basis soil, and I'll finish with this. The basis soil says that when a person wants the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to treat him something ma'al derech hateva, the person has to do something ma'al derech hateva. Says the basis soil, the reason that Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu had a kid when naturally they should not have kids because they were too old is because they have done things out of the realm of what's natural. The way that they brought in guests, the way that they treated them, and we'll continue the Yetzer Hashem next week to talk about this topic, but the way they treated them was something so unusual, so against the nature of human being, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, the same way you dealt with people and treated them in an unusual way, I'm going to treat you. When we chas v'shalom daven on sick persons, when somebody is chas v'shalom sick, and we ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to send a refuah shleimah to people, sometimes, beyond saying Tehillim, not chas v'shalom, we don't need, we need to daven as much as we can, but beyond saying Tehillim, we need to know that the best schus that we can have to come to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and say, please do something for this person, please do something for us, is only to elicit the Midah Keneged Midah by us also doing something unusual. Thank you very much.